May the Lord help us to commence our service with hymn 1017. The peace of which I had a taste when Jesus first his love revealed, I fondly hoped would always last, because my foes were then concealed. Hymn 1017.
Thank you. Let us read together from the first book of Samuel, from chapter 19, a few verses in the first of Samuel, chapter 19. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord, the evil spirit allowed from the Lord, was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. Excuse me. And David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. We turn to the 22nd chapter. David therefore departed then, and escaped the cave of Adullam. When his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and every one that was in distress, every one that was in debt, every one that was discontented, it says bitter of soul, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. and he brought them before the king of Moab. And they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. And David departed and came into the forest of Hareth, when Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him. Now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. And finally, just a few verses in Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. We leave the reading of God's word there. Amen.
Thank you.
most holy. Gracious Lord, we seek thy mercy. Pray that we may not gather without thy Spirit. Oh, it would be our mercy, Lord, if thou shouldst come, and may these dry bones live. Oh, we seek, Lord, that we may not have a round of service, but may we have thy Spirit. Lord, we feel to need thy Spirit within. We need thee, Lord, to have mercy for our sin and transgressions. Testify against us. We need the remedy by the Holy Spirit's power. Grant to us faith in the Lamb of God. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou grant we may know that help to bow before thee again. We may, Lord, come and seek that with us thou be as we gather once more. For what do these feeble Jews? Lord, we seek that thou come and raise us up and bring us, Lord, from all things else unto thy feet, and grant, O Lord, a little sweet knowledge of the name and power of the Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember each one. And we seek, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy word abundantly. Remember those in age and in infirmities. And Lord, to grant that thou wilt sweetly bless them, and may it be known. Or may they be able to say, he blessed me there. We seek, Lord, for those in affliction's path, and those, Lord, that we bring unto thee in adversity. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember each case and need that we bring before thee. We have thoughts of the young men, and pray that thou wilt be watching over them. Pray, Lord, that thy mercy may be toward them. Thou wilt preserve and keep them. Lord, do grant answers of peace. Seek, Lord, that thou wilt bless this house of prayer. Grant, Lord, thy word may be precious in those days. Grant, O Lord, there may be that sweet building up. Lord, to continue thy many mercies. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt establish, strengthen, and settle poor sinners, as they may be planted and sown and blessed and granted life divine. Lord, may there be much blessing. Remember those that wait upon thee. Grant them their heart's desire. Lord, we seek for seekers that thou abundantly bless them. For if thou dost not bless seekers, we must be out of the way. Or have we not said we will seek thee early, in the day of thy power? Remember the deacons, and Lord, be round about them continually. And grant, O Lord, that help of God in the burdens that they must carry. And Lord, we seek that thou wilt remember the church and the Sunday school too. And grant, Lord, thy sweet blessing. How we think of little ones and pray that thou wilt be with them. Lord, and the older ones, may they be preserved and kept. Now we pray once more for our land, the great cloud that is upon us, and we feel the days to be solemn. But Lord, we need grace to bow greatly under thy hand. Could it please thee, Lord, to hear and answer according to thy good pleasure? We seek, Lord, that thou wilt remember our land with more evidence of captivity. Lord, that we are not our own. The Lord, that we are sold. That, Lord, we have solemn thoughts about these things. And, Lord, do deliver us, we pray, for nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, we desire to thank thee for every mercy, every favour. Lord, we have to come in our simplicity, Lord, in our thankfulness, grant to us sweet gratitude. As we are bidden to thank thee and praise thee, Lord, we need that power and compunction and that sweet help of God. And Lord, do remember us as we desire a thankful heart from sin set free. Remember each cause represented. And O Lord, to be with us around thy word. Oh, that's where we want to be. At Jesus' feet, with dear Mary that was found at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Oh, we seek, Lord, for a living portion. We need thee this evening. Need thee, Lord, to come where sinners are. But, Lord, to instruct us, teach us, and grant, O Lord, we may not just bring ourselves to thee without due repentance and godly sorrow to grant it. We ask that thou help us as we bow before thee. Lord, we would be amongst those that are seeking for Jesus. Lord, we pray that thou help us, even as we think of opening the book. Oh, we need him that opened the book. And we pray that thou grant the sweet savour and ointments of him who is like ointment poured forth in poor guilty sinners' hearts. We need reviving, we need thy mercy. We need thee, Lord, to come. And Lord, we don't want to be left to just words and phrases. Or we need thee, Lord, to grant to us that help of God, just like those dry bones that lift. We ask every mercy, every favour. We plead that worthy name, for there is no other. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Part of hymn 220. Singing verses 3-6. Remember, O Christian, with heed, when sunk under sentence of death, how first thou from bondage wast freed. Say, was it by works or by faith? On Christ thy affections then fixed, what conjugal truth didst thou vow? With him was there anything mixed? Then what wouldst thou mix with him now? Hymn 220, verses 3, 4, 5 and 6.
Thank you.
much dependence upon the help of God, I direct you to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. You read there from verse 7 and 8. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Psalm 141, verses 7 and 8. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. These seem to be the words that abide with me. We do need thee, Lord the Spirit. In consideration of the Psalm of David, and those words that are in these verses, in the 142nd Psalm also, where it speaks of David when he was in the cave, it is thought that these Psalms were indicted when David was fleeing from Saul. That when he was brought into the caves and dens of the earth, we read in Hebrews of such, a Psalm of David. We thought it right to just notice the setting of the text here. No doubt it was when Saul rose up against David. Friends, he was graceless. He prophesied at one time, but notice the character. He said in the name of the Lord that he wouldn't smite David. He spoke to Jonathan and things went on very smoothly, and soon this evil spirit, allowed of God, manifested itself, rose up, and David soon knew that he had to leave. And we notice that God was with him in a very difficult pathway. He fled from this evil man, because of jealousy, and more than that, his heart was not right with David's God. We noticed a little further in the 22nd chapter that he departed into the cave. Perhaps it was where these psalms were written. We like to use that word, indicted. Where the Lord was with him in distress. And it seems that the setting of our text would be in those circumstances when Saul turned everything to his own end and spoke very solemnly against David. And soon we see that the Lord was with David, but he had to ask and seek that God would show him his way. Till I know what God will do for me. It's a good word, isn't it? In these Psalms there is life. The dear man is brought to seek unto his God. We read in the 140th Psalm, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man with purpose to overthrow my going. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord." Then come in immediately to the psalm here. Oh, how he does seek unto the Lord, perhaps in the dark cave, encompassed with many, many sorrows, and we seem to think he was very low in his soul. He says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties." Now, friends, the measure of the man is found in this. He said, "Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness." God's grace is working in his heart. He said, "It shall be an excellent oil." And then we come to our text. "Our bones," he said, "are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth." It seems that he was brought exceedingly low, but he was a man upright, indeed a young man. And it was the will of God that he should learn those things that God would teach him for the kingdom, for those times when the house of David should increase and the house of Saul should decrease, when God should raise him up and bring him to be the king. I want to notice in these words how the dear man seemed to be under the hand of God in all these things. Really, it's very descriptive. "Our bones," he said, "are scattered at the grave's mouth." Very illustrative part of the man and his feelings before the Lord. "Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth." Now, friends, that is where God heard his prayer. Exactly where the Lord found him. Where the Lord heard his prayer, "Leave not my soul destitute." Our thoughts have gone to these words, for they're very descriptive. I once heard the late Mr. Oliver Pack preach from these words many, many years ago. "Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth." It is experimental. It speaks of that time when he was like those bones scattered at the grave's mouth, about to be swallowed up. Indeed, he said, did he not, "I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul." Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. Now, there's much could be said of David, Saul, that the way in which God was pleased to bring him into those matters that concerned him. And I suppose we could speak the whole time, but friends, where would the prophet be? Might be interesting. But by the help of God, desire to speak these words in the spirit of the gospel. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. It would seem that the dear men felt the oppression of the circumstances, of God's holy sovereign will. It would seem that he felt it to be a very great time with him, almost brought to the end. It seems that the dear man spoke from his soul of those things that seem to bring before us that he felt it was just a step before that he should be consumed. And more than that, the grave's mouth is a solemn place for God's dear people. Oh, there's a great fear of going down into the pit. A great need for the Lord to grant deliverances for Jacob. Great need for the Lord to hear prayer when at the grave's mouth. When the dear man felt to be broken up and his bones, as it were, scattered here and there at the grave's mouth. He speaks the language of Zion. Those friends that have to bow under the will of God, and I hope I know just something of it. It is when we need grace at the grave's mouth, in the greatness of trouble. Friends, the Lord grant it. I know not why I venture with the text, but this is the language of Zion. You mean it's a pure language? It's a language of those that fear God, those that need God, it's those that are brought low, those that need the Lord's appearing. It's now they need the Lord to appear. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. It's when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. A very descriptive type of the desolation of the man's soul, righteous soul. The man that was the sweet psalmist of Israel. But oh, the way that God led him, that was the right way, we read of it in Psalm 107. And he led them forth by the right way, they might go to a city of habitation. I want to come a little further. It speaks of the desolation the man felt as when wood is cut and splintered, and there's one flies there and one flies here, and that's like the hopes and comforts of God's people sometimes. They're all scattered. Need the Lord to gather them up. Need the Lord to appear. But this is not nominal religion. It's experimental. Friends, he needed God to appear. I wonder if there's any like that this evening. Honourably so. It's when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. Well, that's very descriptive. Those that know what it is to be in distress, as we have read of David, or those that gather unto him, a lively type of Christ. As when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth, nothing to be spoken of, but rather it seems that they are in a great strait. Dear David spoke of it, didn't he? I'm in a great strait, let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, and let me not fall into the hand of man. The And then there are vital truths to consider in these words. Friends, I do love to speak of doctrine. I believe it's right to speak of the Lord's people and all those things that surround them. And it's only doctrine that will do them good, and that's in Christ. They can't gather up these bones, can they, and bring them unto Christ? They're absolutely poor and helpless and needy. And what they want is doctrine of the cross, of Christ crucified. Oh, that's where this gathering up of these dry bones is to be found. In Christ, Him crucified. The doctrine of it is the extremity of man and the nearness of God. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. It's a solemn thing when doctrines are dispensed with. And there is decay in doctrine. Friends, there's a solemn malaise, something wrong, if Zion does not love and dwell upon and look to the doctrines of God Himself. Some may say we don't want dry doctrines here. Friends, no Christ without doctrine. Let's be ever so clear. It's the doctrine of God in sweet covenant, what the Lord will do for these that are at the graves now. And of course, it speaks of those times when the Lord's people are at the grave's mouth because of guilt and sin, but with a heart relenting, a heart of penitence, godly sorrow, falling at the feet of the Lamb, feeling to need the Lord more than any. I wonder if there are any like that this evening. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. Well, such, friends, are brought humbly to the Lord and seek His mercy for the lost and those that have no helper. We often think of the publican that was justified. Those that are brought to own themselves, to be sinners' base. Of course, Saul had many sweet words and smooth words. But friends, like Doeg, the Edomite, they were void of the truth of God Himself. I must hasten. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. Our thoughts went with you to that, go with you to that chapter. We read so much of the Valley of Dry Bones. Now, friends, it's the vital truth of it with regard to the living. For there's no life until the dear man had to prophesy upon those dry bones that they should live. How scattered they were in type. And we read they're very dry. Sometimes the Lord's people feel like that. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. We read of these bones that were very dry. Now, friends, what is needed? Well, let us look well to it. It needs the Lord. He said, prophesy unto the wind, O breath. Breathe upon these bones that they may live. Friends, they really are the bones of the whole house of Israel. We read of it so much, don't we? These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. Are there any like that this evening? Our hope is lost. And so it would be, friends, but for doctrine and truth. The hopes of God's people are anchored above, and that by divine grace they have to cast their anchor upwards. That hope which entereth into that within the veil, but our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. Oh, it needs, doesn't it, the Spirit of God. And Zion is not far from our thoughts, especially thinking of the prayer meeting and the need for the Lord to return. Here's a remedy. God grant it. Needs the Lord to grant the blessed work and witness and power and breath of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's the bones that are raised up. The world aren't raised up. It's not just the building. Thankful we are for it. Friends, it's the hearts and souls of God's dear people. And that's where the Holy Spirit breathes upon these dry bones that they may live. Oh, how needful it is. May the Lord grant it in our poor land. And remember us still, before we think the language here to be very applicable, our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. It's when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. What a casting off. What a solemn selling of ourselves. And now we reap the whirlwind. But may God appear. And then I want to come a little further. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. But there's one other way in which I desire help of God to speak from these words. Really two ways. And that is when the tempter comes. And God's dear people are like these bones that are scattered at the grave's mouth. He doesn't tempt the dead, does he? The living. Oh, their souls sometimes are scattered like the bones at the grave's mouth. We can't explain it. Friends, it's desolation. It's when Satan takes away, if he could, everything. When the poor child of God seeks to find something and all is gone. When there's a solemn realization that there is need of the Lord to appear, or else we shall descend into the pit. Now, I must dwell just for a moment there. Sometimes we may not know it is the enemy. We may think it's reality. And now God lift up. Those are at the grave's mouth. Even there, God can bring back, can breathe upon these dry bones. Those that know the Lord will know very well what I mean. It only needs one breath, doesn't it, of life upon those bones. And oh, friends, they're gathered, aren't they? Brought again. Really, they're brought to his bone. Friends, it's when there's a gathering up. Now, that's the gospel. And the sweet truth of it, you know, Satan scatters and the law of God scatters. God's dear people, like these bones at the grave's mouth. Let the Lord show and teach them, oh, that vital need of Christ. friends, there's a truth I want to dwell on for a moment. When faith looks to Sinai, our bones are scattered at the graves now. It will be so. No help in self, nor in Moses, nor in works, certainly not under Mount Sinai. Now all are not taught the same, but something will be known, although we may not be able to exactly understand what it is, but the essence of it, if I may say, is this. It's when our faith looks to Sinai, it fills the soul with dread. Can these dry bones live? Friends, they can't under Mount Sinai. They can't get better there. They can't amend their ways. They can't find some faith. They can't promise to be better. It needs a heart upright, but it needs the Lord. Now some may not fully quite understand it, but feelingly, it's in our text. And so what we need is the Spirit to breathe upon these bones. And what is it? To direct us. There's a sweet hymn, I can't just think about it. Breathe upon these bones so dry, and that thy sweetest, softest influence shed. Well, that's what we need, isn't it? Now it's when that wind, that breath, oh, it is when the Lord appears and gathers up. Now that's the sweet truth of the gospel. Simply like this, the Lord gathers and brings back those dry bones going down to the pit. For I have found a ransom, a voice of love and mercy. And indeed, these things are vital. We do not speak as if it's something to learn and be able to say how well taught we are. Friends, it's just as much as God has brought us back from our destruction and our guilt and shame and brought us again by his sweet Spirit. No, I speak simply. Some may say, I wish I had a word from the Lord that I am in possession of this sweet truth and the gospel. Friends, what drawing is there in your heart? What love to the Lord when he appears? What think ye of Christ? Now, these doctrines in Christ, friends, are very precious. Let me say simply, it supports his throne. This glorious truth of God in Christ, and yet in his sacred humanity. I think somebody was saying to me today that how precious the words, he was wearied with his journey. Another place, he was asleep on the pillow. It's the God-man. Oh, how sweet and precious to poor sinners. But as soon as he commanded, they were at the other side. As soon as the Lord appeared, all was well. Oh, how we need the Lord. Many fears, perhaps. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, let the Lord appear. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Now, we need the Spirit of God. Now, sometimes the wind blows so softly, doesn't it? And it's still the wind. It's still that sweet truth, although we look at it with regard to God's humble dealing, his gracious dealing. Some may say, I wished I had a gale. I wished I had the Lord to show me at that time. Saved by grace. Well, it's through the merits of the Lord Jesus that we need the Lord to bring us to him. And to the young ones, I desire to encourage them to seek the Lord, to draw them by his grace, and to bring them from afar, and despise not the day of small things. I must pass on. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. Oh, it's a sweet word. I thought of two places in the Word of God where we have the same sacred truth in a different way. Let me direct you to the 38th chapter of Isaiah, where we read of those many things until the Lord appeared. That's the point I'm making. There's a time when the bones were at the grave's mouth. It's a well known part in Isaiah chapter 38. No, it reads here, he was sick unto death. But then after, the Lord brought him back. He said, on the cutting off of my days, I said, I shall go down to the grave, for I am deprived of the residue of my ears. Indeed, it says, mine age is departed, is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. Still further. From day even to night will they make an end of me. It's a solemn place to be. And then I reckon till morning that, like as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night will they make an end of me, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove, mine eyes fail with looking up, but I remember at one time especially in my life, my eyes failed with looking upward. When would God appear? O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Always think of the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Now, the point is this. Soon, the Lord appeared. O Lord, by these things men live. And all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me. And make me to live. Bring back these bones from the grave's mouth. And then there's another part that seemed to bring me to think so much of the truth in the verses here. Again, we notice how the Lord dealt with Jeremiah. In those well-known words, like Hezekiah, that cried, Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. The dear man, his bones were, as it were, at the grave's mouth. In the third chapter, well-known chapter, but I thought there was sweet truth relating to our text until the Lord appeared. When I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath set me up as a mark for the arrow. There's much of Christ in it. Now, there's so many things. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity, and I said my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. Now that's been like those bones at the grave's mouth, near despair. Once a sinner near despair, we sing, sought thy mercy seat by prayer. It's a good hymn. And then, friends, it's doctrine, isn't it? Friends, it's sweet truth with our God. In his word, now we need the Lord to breathe upon these bones. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Some parts are so well known that that's how it seemed to come to me, that there is sweet instruction to those that are at the grave's mouth. Look unto Hezekiah's God and Jeremiah's God. Look up. Really, that's the truth in the text here, isn't it? Oh, how precious it is for those that know something of being at the grave's mouth. I must hasten to this latter part. It's a very precious verse. But mine eyes are unto thee. Now what are these eyes but the eyes of faith? But mine eyes are unto thee. Really, it's a word, isn't it, that speaks of looking unto Jesus. Even at the grave's mouth, mine eyes are unto thee. But when will the Lord appear? In thee is my trust. Friends, we don't want a false trust. We don't want a fleshly trust. And Saul trusted that God was with him, and he wasn't at all. He thought it was so. But friends, the matter is this. These that are the prayers of the living. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Now there's a very sweet way that the Holy Spirit reveals and speaks in this word. But my eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. Again, I speak again of doctrine. I hope you will not be angry with me about it. Friends, the sweet doctrines that are in the Godhead. Oh, God, the Lord, to whom else shall we go? Let me put it like this. I want to be clear. Some say that we don't know anything about doctrine until we've had the sweet experience. Now, let me put it like this. Friends, it's the doctrines that bring us by the truth in which God is pleased to reveal himself. It is by the doctrine. One of those doctrines is conviction. Another of those doctrines is this, that we have to be brought to the greatness, majesty, holiness of God. That without that bowing down and giving glory to him, there's something lacking. When it speaks of absolute dependence and looking unto Christ alone, O God, my Lord. O God, the Lord. And there's another time has nearly gone, but We read in, I think it's in Exodus chapter 6 or chapter 8, where we read, the Lord didn't make himself known by his name Jehovah until that the Lord was disposed to make this name that's so glorious. And it's in the very person of Christ, if I can speak of doctrine again, that when the Lord is pleased to reveal the Lord Jesus to poor guilty sinners' hearts. So there's a dazed man that could put his hand on both the poor sinner and the holy God. O God the Lord. As we do need a dazed man to stand between. The Lord grants it. Those at the grave's mouth. Oh, precious Jesus, that is able, that God has set up, and especially makes himself known to bring back poor sinners from the ends of the earth or the grave's mouth. I must hasten. But mine eyes unto thee, O God the Lord. A little word, but there's a lot in it, isn't there? But mine eyes are unto thee. O God the Lord, we may need the heavenly eye salve. May the Lord so open our eyes with that poor blind man. But he said, I think I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. O God, the Lord, in thee is my trust. I want to be ever so clear. It is not taking that name with unhallowed lips and fleshly wisdom. Friends, it's pleading that name low at the throne of grace. And it takes a lot to bring us there. O God, the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? O God, the Lord. No, it does need the Lord to open it up to us in all its sacred truth. That this God that is approachable, merciful, that is pleased to bow down his ear to hear. And there's a beautiful verse, isn't there? He will regard the prayer of a destitute and not despise their prayer. That's a good word. Not despise their prayer. It's a good word at the grave's mouth. Even there, the Lord is pleased to hear the prayer of a destitute and not to cast away or despise. Their prayer is the gospel. Now we've walked in a little, friends, to realise this, that we have to wait for the Lord to provide for us in life's journey. And it's not so hard to wait upon, O God, the Lord, is it? And not so easy to wait like that. Until God appears, sometimes we're like the bones at the grave's mouth, but the Lord will appear. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. What a beautiful prayer that is. Leave not my soul destitute. Now what it doesn't mean is this, that David is saying how bad Saul was. And how different he was. No, nothing like that. Friends, it was he that felt to be at the grave's mouth. He that needed the God of his salvation. It was he that needed the Lord to appear, that he'd fought Goliath. But now he needed the Lord to graciously appear. O God, the Lord, thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Leave not my soul destitute. Exceedingly good prayer. Now, what is it to be destitute? Without home or without possessions? Naturally, destitute of those necessary things, but how much more spiritually? Oh, the Lord's people do need the Lord. They need him so much. They need him to be their rest. They need him to be their God. They need the comfort of his love. They need the Lord to grant the overshadowing of the wings of mercy that overshadow the mercy seat. They need the Lord to cast a look on me, says the hymn writer. Cast a look on them. May it be in sweet simplicity. Leave not my soul destitute. A very short prayer, but oh, friends, how needful. Perhaps there's some like that this evening. Now, leave not my soul destitute. And then the application is also, isn't it? Leave not my soul so destitute, feeling to be so cast off, so unlike the people of God, or so guilty and undone. Leave not my soul destitute without that sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. It's a beautiful word in Hebrews, not without blood. Now that's the religion we want. Leave not my soul destitute. And sometimes the Lord's people, they do feel to need especially the Lord to grant that precious blood to be sprinkled upon their conscience, to deliver them from sin and guilt. I say sometimes, I mean especially. Perhaps they've sinned and come short. Now David knew what it was to pray that prayer. Leave not my soul destitute. Ah, leave me not. Neither forsake me. God of truth. Leave not my soul destitute. It's a well-known petition, but it hasn't worn out. Perhaps there's some like that this evening. Leave not my soul. No, it's not some abstract, but it's the present soul's condition. It's the burden. It's the trouble. Only God knows all about it. Leave not my soul destitute, Lord, in this trouble. Bring thou me out of my distresses. Oh, but it's not a prayer for thee. Blessings of this world, although they might be right in their place, it's a prayer for spiritual prosperity. Leave not my soul destitute. And what if God should answer that and bring you into providential things or trials? Friends, can you still walk with him? Leave not my soul destitute. Sometimes our soul lives when the way is rough, but when we need our God, I do not speak against his good and kind providence. Leave not my soul destitute. Now many things unsaid. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth. As when one cutteth and cleaveth words upon the earth, but mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. We leave a very few remarks there. Amen. Thank you.
God willing, Mr. Warren will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with the last verse of hymn 220. This God is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as large as his power, and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past, and trust him for all that's to come. Hymn 220, verse 7.
Especially bless and watch over this people and preserve and keep them. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. Amen.